Well, hello, everybody. I am way just pleased. I've been inundated with your emails this week and very blessed by your comments. And there's just nothing more that gets me excited than people having a true revelation of God and how He wants us to live our lives. Honestly, what He planted in me many years ago was about freedom in Christ. And many of your emails proved that there was freedom. Many of you were set free financially last weekend from His word, not from me. I was nothing but the messenger, but by His very powerful word, many of you came to truth and freedom and understanding and wisdom and knowing what you needed to do with your businesses. And so I just want to thank our Father in heaven for sending that Holy Spirit that we all have access to utilize and to be blessed by and all of that wonderful and awesome stuff. First of all, I want to open the call with two things. One, I want to pray. And two, I want to give my disclaimer, which I give on 99% of the calls that I give. I will let you know that the Lord made me kind of spicy. I'm half Nicaraguan and the rest is Italian and Irish. I'd say it's a little bit on the hot-blooded side. So when I get excited, which He brings on me quite often, I do talk louder and I talk faster. And I apologize ahead of time for that. And if I were to change that, I would be fake and theatrical. And that is not what I'm about. In fact, if you were to ever attend my training seminars, you would truly find who God created you to be and be the best at that. And through those same training seminars, God revealed to me who I was and how I could be the best Danny that I could be. Not trying to be like anybody else other than my Jesus, but being the best that He had created me to be, and that's what I am. And so I am not going to try to be fake for you guys. I'm going to be real, and this is me, and I'm sorry if you don't approve or like it, but you need to go to Him if you don't, because this is what He created. And so I'm going to walk in the fullness of who He did and what He did and how He has revealed Himself in my life. And let's go before the Lord. God, I just thank You. I thank You, God, that You are God and that we are not. I thank You, God, for this group of people, and I pray a blessing upon their businesses. Father, the very mantle that You've given Hans and myself in the area of finances, in the area of network marketing specifically, God, I pray that You give them the very same thing, Lord. Bless them abundantly and expand their territories. Give them great favor with men and women alike. Give them great favor with business people and people who are not business people. Lord, I pray You open doors for them that ordinarily would never open by way of their hand or any man's hand. God, I know that You're God, and I know You're powerful, and You're the creator of the heavens and the earth, and that You set Your Son to die on that cross for us, that we would be sanctified, set free, delivered. God, that we would be made righteous by His blood, that we would be healed by His stripes. We thank You for Your perfect love that casts out fear, and God, I ask for Your anointing tonight. Lord, anoint their ears and prepare them. Prepare their hearts, prepare their minds. Prepare their souls, that truth would be dispelled from my lips, that Your truth, Lord, would be planted inside of them, that we would reap a great harvest of truth and freedom, that we would get a great harvest of authority in Christ to take dominion over the marketplace. Yeah, that we would take dominion over the marketplace, especially, Lord, the network marketing industry, that we would take back from the hands of the enemy who stole that industry. Who stole it, Lord, and turned it into a vile industry in so many ways of seduction and greed and idolatry. Lord, and we say we're sorry. We stand in the gap for our predecessors. We stand in the gap for our brothers and sisters who are so heavily involved in the areas of greed and seduction and lust and the absolute lust for material things in ways that You would not have us desire those things. Lord, Your word says that we need to desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit more than we desire any of those things. And so, Lord, I ask for an impartation of desire for holy things inside of all of us. God, and we do. We stand in the gap and we ask for forgiveness for all who are in network marketing. And, Lord, and we say we're sorry for all the times that we've not honored You with our faith, all the times, God, that we've chased man instead of You. Yeah. All the times, oh God, where we have forgotten to worship You, we ask for forgiveness, Lord, for the times where, oh, that our spirituality has become almost like a duty. Oh Lord, because You are new every morning, Lord, and we want that revelation inside of us, that You would reveal Yourself new in us every single day. Lord, I ask You salt the tongues. Make them thirsty. Make me thirsty for You and for Your word. Put hunger pains in our stomachs that we would desire You so much more than anything else. Yeah, we ask that you ordain our steps, anoint our tongues, that when people hear us present our businesses, that they're hearing the voice of the living God. Yeah, for some reason, Lord, they are attracted to us. Lord, heal every family. Make them whole. Tear down the divisions, O God, of the enemy, and hold back the hand of the enemy and shut the mouth of the devourer. Yeah. We say you're God. We know you're holy, and we thank you that you are our God. That a king would die for us. That a shepherd would lay down his life for his sheep. We thank you, Lord, for that. So, Lord, I ask that you just use me tonight in some way. Lord, and I ask that you scramble my words, that my words would fall to the ground, Lord, and that my words would fall on deaf ears, but that your words, God, would be planted in the hearts of your people, that we would be changed forever, that we would be loyal to you and faithful to you. Lord, bless your holy word right now as I present this word that you've given me to your people. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Well, last week I kind of set myself a precedence. You know, we went through actually 554 scriptures is what I studied last week. This week it's 440. And it all has to do with the topic of faith. And I'm going to go through this as quickly as I possibly can and pray that God speeds up your ears and your understanding. There's a lot here. There's a lot about faith. We have about six different topics concerning faith. We're going to talk about faith versus deeds and to walk by faith and not by sight as the first topic. The second one is what faith does and where to put it. The third area is going to be what happens when there's little faith and doubt, when there's doubt. We're going to talk about asking for a measure of faith, unfailing faith, and the kind of instructions God gives us concerning faith. We're going to talk about the outcome of faithlessness. You will be shocked when I go through these scriptures with you. And number six, the outcome of faithfulness. So six different areas. We're going to go through a lot of scriptures right now. So if you have your Bibles, I would like for you to turn to the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, starting at verse 14. We went through this last week, and this is kind of like an ongoing process with this four-week course that we're doing. But the parable of the talents, as I just prefaced it so we don't spend a lot of time here, I spent a lot of time here last week, it was interesting. The master came to his three servants and gave them each a portion according to their ability. I hope someone had a major revelation last week about this scripture. Because to the one he gave five talents of money, to another two talents, and to another one talent, each according to his ability. That's Matthew 25, 14 and 15. And then he went on to his journey. And then it says that the man who was given five gained five more, the one that two gained two more, and the one who had the one hid his talent and did nothing with it. He hid. He came into fear. He had no faith. And so when the master came back, he said to the guy with the five and the two who doubled their talent, this is what he said. This is verse 21. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. I thought that was beautiful, and I think it was a guy by the name of Brett last week who got it. He got it. He was set free there. To not compare your giftings to other people, and don't compare your results to other people, because when we do, we are getting sidetracked with coveting. We're getting sidetracked with greed. We're getting sidetracked and led by our nose, by the enemy, into wanting more, 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 versus wanting more of ourselves and giving our best to our God, because that truly has to be the focus. And so here, the master said to the guy who had five and the one who had two, he praised them and said, come share with me in your master's happiness. Which is awesome. Now, here's what's interesting. These two men worked by faith. By faith, they went and turned the talents that they had, and they doubled them. The man who had no faith, and what replaced his faith was fear, and I'm a firm believer in that, that if you are not walking by faith, you are walking in fear. Somebody write that down. If you're not walking by faith, you are walking in fear. Fear leads to apathy, depression, criticism, judgment, cynicism, oppression. Are you with me? And that's what happens. And so here, this man who had the one talent buried the talent and listened to the word of the Lord, who said, he called him wicked. He said, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew what to do, and you didn't do it. He says, now, and this is what's so scary. He says, you could have at least put the money in the bank with the banker so that I could have had a return and received interest on my money. He said, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he does have, will be taken from him. And listen to this, verse 30. And throw that worthless servant outside into darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is the production of no faith. Faith being overcome by fear. And we are going to go heavy and strong concerning this. Come over to me with Hebrews chapter 11. It's after the Gospels, before 1st and 2nd Peter, after Colossians and Philemon and all that. Hebrews 11, 1. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Come on, guys. Don't you want to be commended by your God? Man, all of us are trying to get a recognition from the company heads and our uplines. Imagine having recognition from your Father in heaven as being commended in that hall of faith. Here's verse 4, 11:4. It says, by faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Canaan did. There you go. Hello, you've all heard this in your trainings, to go the extra mile. And so many people have a hard time going the extra mile for man. Hello, we are working as unto the Lord, the Most High God, the living God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, who owns all the money, who owns all the blessing. And here Abel had a clue. He offered a better offering to God than Canaan did. And by faith, he was commended, hello, as a righteous man, because he went the extra mile and by faith did more than what other people would do. Write this down in your network marketing business. You want to do the same thing. You want to go the extra mile in your business. And it says that when God spoke well of his offerings, and it says that God spoke well of his offerings because he was considered a righteous man. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. Now some people go, how in the world is that? Because I just spoke the words right here. Abel is still alive. The words of Abel and his offering are still alive because it's in the holy word of God. And it says, by faith, Enoch was taken from his life, this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, write this down, each and every one of you. Some of you need to put this on your bathroom mirrors. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I'm going to read that again. Verse 6, 11, chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those, I love this part, who earnestly seek him or diligently seek him. Question, are you earnestly seeking him concerning your business? Whatever challenges that you face in your business, whether you need help with recruiting, you need help with closing, you need help with retail sales, you need help with leadership management, you need help with finding the right trainer, finding the right seminar that's going to make all the difference. Sitting in a seminar, sitting in this conference call saying, Lord, I want to hear from you today. I want something that's going to make a difference in my business today. Are you earnestly seeking your God every day before you pick up that telephone to prospect? Are you earnestly seeking your God? Hello, guys. You don't have any idea how much time I spend earnestly seeking my God concerning this training I'm doing with you right now. Hours and hours and hours and hours saying, God, these are your people, they're not mine. This is your word, not mine. You see fit. You do it whichever way you want to do it. Every training seminar that I do, next weekend, majority of my week this week will be earnestly seeking my God for wisdom and understanding because he's the only one that knows the people that are coming. There'll be about like 10 different companies represented in that room. And I want to be there to serve them, to give them what they need to have breakthrough in their business. And they will have breakthrough. Why? Because God will be there because he was sought after earnestly and faithfully. And he is faithful to those who are faithful. You'll see that later. I'll go through that later. Listen to this. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. This blows my mind. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Did you hear that? Righteousness that comes by faith. Did you hear that before? It is impossible to please God without faith. He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. I hope you're catching my drift about where I'm going with this. If you haven't yet, you'll get it by the time I'm done. Hello. By faith, when warned about things not yet seen. Listen, there had never been a boat ever made during Noah's time, and there had never been rain like a flood in Noah's time. He was thousands of miles from water, meaning enough to have a boat on it. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. Was he ridiculed? Yes. Have you been ridiculed concerning your business? Yes. Has your family said, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're doing that. It's not going to work. Our uncle did that and it didn't work for him. Ridiculed. Yes. Well, praise God. Because it means you're about to succeed. I love the story of Noah. It really brought me to a huge place back in September about how God gave him so much detail. And if Noah did not obey by faith and he left out one board, left out one detail, left out one inch, 1 centimeter, 1 kilometer, if he left out one thing, none of us would be here today. By faith he obeyed. By faith, we need to obey. You know, last week we talked about in Ecclesiastes, it said, whatever your hands can find, do it with all of your might, as unto the Lord. Your hands have found the network marketing industry, and it's not by accident. He heard the cries of your heart saying, Lord, I need freedom. Lord, we need to get out of debt. Lord, we need a better opportunity. And he blessed us with it. And most of us are sitting here still saying, Lord, we need this, we need that, not realizing that he placed you here for a reason. For a reason. Earnestly seek him. Please him by your faith and listen to each detail that he gives you. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. How many of you do not know where you're going in your network marketing opportunity? I know every single one of you said, yeah. Most of you don't know. And guess what? That's fine. Abraham had not a clue about where he was going. But by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. How many of you have often felt like a stranger in a foreign country in your network marketing opportunity? I know I have. When I first got started, total stranger. No idea the language or any of that. And he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Do you know that he left his father's house and he was a rich man? They had fortified cities. They had it all. And he walked away from it to follow his God to a better place that was not yet seen. For he was looking forward to the city within foundations whose architect and builder is God. I love that. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. God made him a promise that he'd have a son, the promised son, Isaac. And so from this one man, and he was as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. So when I say walk by faith, Abraham walked by faith. He obeyed and walked by faith. I challenge you tonight to obey your God who planted you in your network marketing business for a reason, reasons that you cannot even fathom nor understand. Calling you to a place you've never been before, but calling to a place where he is building an army to take back what the enemy has stolen. To place back into it, two by two, helping people make massive improvements in their life. Bringing healing to the sick. Wholeness to the brokenhearted. Freedom to the captive. And our industry, God has used for years to do that. Here's another one. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. And it was the promised son. Even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned, Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the death. By faith, Moses, his parents, hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child and they were afraid of the king's edict. But by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Do I have to keep going? These men walked by faith. Forget that. There's also a woman, Deborah, in the book of Judges, who by faith led a man into battle because God said that the battle would be his and that it would be won. And here this woman, a prophetess, leads a man who is called Lightning. And hello, it's amazing. And so this is about walking by faith. This is the reason why this topic was chosen. Obviously, the Lord led me down this road, but here's why. About a year ago, in fact, it was almost exactly a year ago, I felt the Holy Spirit really convict me about something, and it was during the same time that the parable of the talents was preached at my church. And this is what it was. You see, when we are rooted in His Word and we trust Him, that doesn't take faith. That doesn't take the faith that caused Moses to walk away from his inheritance, to walk away from his authority and his position, to go and live as a low life with the Israelites. Bottom line, and to lead a people that he didn't even like into the promised land. That kind of faith is the faith that has action. And so the Lord convicted me and said, you are rooted in my word and you trust me, but you've not walked by faith blindly. And oh my gosh, that was a life-changing day for me. An absolute life-changing day for me. When we are in our comfort zones, we are not walking by faith. When we are comfortable and can predict our day from one day to the next, we are not walking by faith. When there is an exhilaration that faith leads us into, an exhilaration that Moses, that David, that Isaac and Jacob, that Abel, this exhilaration of not knowing what the outcome is going to be, but knowing that the promises of God said the outcome will be good. And that he does reward those who diligently seek him. So, let's go over here to James to talk about faith without deeds. Let's go to 17. It says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. He says, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. I love that. His faith was made complete by what he did. God put you in the network marketing industry. And by faith, you will pick up that phone and you will prospect by faith. Because your actions complete your faith. It's one thing to say, okay, Lord, we need to get out of debt. It's another thing to walk towards getting out of debt by stop spending money frivolously on things we do not need. Do you understand? Our faith is made complete by what we do. It says, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. In the same way, check this out. This is verse 25, 2:25, book of James. In the same way, was not even Rahab, the prostitute, considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. I love it. You know, through the years of doing what I'm doing, I've had well over 100,000 people come through my training seminars like the one I'm doing next weekend. Probably hundreds of thousands of people come through the training conference calls that I've done all these years. And what I will tell you is this. I've seen many defeated Christians who talk a whole lot about proclaiming their promises but don't work for it. Don't back their faith with actions, meaning, Lord, you said to go build my network marketing business. You dropped this business on my lap, God. Then I'm going to trust that you're going to bring me the people, but I first have to pick up the phone. And if I lack something in my business, then by faith, Lord, I ask that you show me the right trainer to teach me how to get good at my business. God, I ask you, be my trainer. Holy Spirit, help me learn how to close and send me the right people with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to teach me how to get good at it. Because according to my ability, will you then reward me? I love it. The Word of God is so crystal clear. So, there you go. People who walk by faith and not by sight. Let's go to number two. This is in 440 scriptures that I found. By the way, I encourage every single one of you to go to the scriptures. Get your concordances out. Look up faith, faithfulness, faithless, all of that stuff. And you will see for yourself what the Word of God says about faith and how we are called to be a people of faith. Here's what I found out. Faith heals. It saves. Number three, it brings righteousness. It's actually accredited to us as righteousness. Number four, it casts out fear. Number five, it breeds perseverance. Number six, we are to put our faith in Jesus, not in man who is failing, but in Jesus who will not fail us. Number seven, faith brings obedience and we are called to obey that faith and walk towards our God. Number eight, faith is actually seen. There's a scripture in the book of Matthew where the paralytic was being brought in by his friend and it said, when Jesus saw their faith. That's in the book of Matthew. It says, when Jesus saw their faith. Isn't that amazing? That faith can be seen. And you know what? I'm a firm believer in that. Why? There are so many people that I know you can think of that are men and women of faith that you can see their faith, you can hear their faith, you can hear their conviction, you can hear their passion. Don't you want that kind of faith that can be seen? Hello, it also shows that faith was in action, just as ours is called to be in action. His friends, by faith, were carrying him instead of staying in their hut and waiting for a miracle. They were seeking for the miracle. So many people want their bodies to be healed, and yet they're sitting there waiting instead of chasing. I say chase it. Same with the business. They want to get rich in network marketing, but they're sitting waiting for it to happen. I say go chase it. Go make it happen. It's not for people who wait for things to happen. It's those who make things happen. Here's another one. Number nine, it brings freedom. Oh, I love that. That's my passion, by the way, is freedom. It brings freedom. Number 10, it sanctifies our soul. Number 11, it purifies us. Number 12, it brings forgiveness of sins. How many times have you seen that through the scriptures in Matthew? By the way, I'm only giving you conclusions based on what I found in 440 scriptures where it says your faith has saved you, where Jesus said this, that your faith has brought you forgiveness of sins. It says that very clearly. Number 13, it justifies us. Number 14, it brings blessing. Number 15, it is used as a shield to block the hand of the enemy, to return the fiery darts back to the pit of hell where they belong. And number 16, it brings endurance. Come on, guys, don't you want this? Second thing, don't you need it? Don't all of us need a more measure of faith in our business and in our family, in our marriages, in our daily lives? Yes. We absolutely do. We absolutely do. There's tons of scriptures. And you guys know, as I said these, I'm sure you can remember the places where the scripture said this. Here's another one. John 14:12. It says, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing, and he will do even greater things than these. That's John 14:12. That's Jesus is speaking. He's speaking those words, saying, have faith. Here's Acts 3:6. It says, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. There's another thing. There's number 17. We are made strong by faith. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to this man who was sick. Isn't that awesome? We are called to obedience. Romans 1:5. We are called to the obedience of faith. It says that we are to call people from among all the Gentiles. And by the way, for those of you that are babes in Christ, Gentiles is you and me. Gentiles is all the other nations outside of the Israelites, outside of the Jews. So that's all of us. So to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. Can you obey? If you are lacking obedience, that means you are lacking in faith. Here's another one, Romans 1:17, the righteous will live by faith. Guys, in your heart, I know you desire to be righteous, but you can't do it without faith. It says the righteous will live by faith. The righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. You see, so many of us trying to act out our righteousness, it's nothing but wood, hay, and stubble. Our righteousness can only come through faith in Jesus Christ. I love it. Let me move on. Third section, which is what happens when we have a little bit of faith or doubt. Well, let's go here. Matthew 8:26. Very interesting. It talks about little faith producing fear. Let me find it. It says, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? And this is when he stood up and he rebuked the waters and the winds and he calmed the waters. They were terrified because of no faith. Lack of faith produces fear. Doubt, you go without. Faith, you get stronger and stronger in him. Okay, here's another one. Isaiah 7:9 says, if you don't stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. You know those days when you're looking at the phone and it has teeth? It's growling at you and you are afraid of what some stranger in his boxer shorts with his ice cream and his Cheetos watching another rerun is going to say to you? Gosh, we do get there. He says, if you don't stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. We are stand firm that God placed us here and that we are to work unto him and that he will bring us the people that are qualified and he will strengthen us in the areas that we need strengthening. He will gain our ability in the areas that we ask him to gain our ability in. He's faithful that way. It says, guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith. Here's what happened when they're with the disciples who had no faith. No miracles were in a certain area because they lacked faith. Matthew 17:19-20 says the disciples could not drive out that demon and they asked him. And this is what he said, because you have lacked faith, because you have so little faith. He says, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Nothing, this is his words, not mine. Nothing will be impossible for you. You don't believe me? Go to Matthew 17:19-20. Because of a lack of faith, he wasn't able to drive out that demon. For a lack of faith, 98% of the population in network marketing can't bring people into their business. Can't reach the level that they want to reach. And many of them wind up quitting because they lack faith. Faith produces excuses, I truly believe, which is a well-planned lie. Matthew 21:21. If you have faith and do not doubt, whatever you ask for will be given to you. Love it. In the book of Mark, chapter 11, verse 22, he talks about faith that moves mountains. And it says, if you believe and you do not doubt, then whatever you ask for will be given to you. I love it. So here, just to recap. Little faith produces fear, number one. Number two, there were no miracles produced because of a lack of faith. Number three, they could not cast out a demon because of a lack of faith. Number four, he says, have faith and do not doubt. And if you have faith, without doubt, that means 100% faith, 0% doubt. You have a seed of doubt, guess what? You go without. Then you can move a mountain. He says, if you believe and do not doubt, then you can move this mountain. Number five, here's the last commandment about faith. He says, do not judge those who are weak in their faith. And he also asks those who are weak in their faith not to judge those who are strong in their faith. This is Romans chapter 14, verse 1. Read that chapter. He says, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. That's a whole beautiful chapter, by the way. You know, God really does command us not to be judgmental of other people and to look at their fruit to see how much faith they truly have or don't have. Okay, we're going to section four. We're going to talk about asking for a more measure of faith. And I know all of us can agree that we can all use a more measure of faith. You know, this is a very common prayer of mine, by the way, on top of the one of clean my heart, O God, the prayer that David prayed. Seek in me if there be any wicked way and reveal it that we can deal with it and get it out because I don't want anything hindering my life before my God. I ask for God literally daily for a more measure of faith, not a faith that I can contain, but a faith that I cannot contain, that is oozing out of me and winds up dripping all over everybody else that is around me. Because I know that faith is what has endured my life since a child, living a life of painful suffering and horrible, wicked things that I've watched through my grown-up years. But let's talk about this. Let's talk about unfailing faith and the instructions that God gives us concerning this issue of unfailing faith. I know all of you want unfailing faith. In Luke chapter 17, verse 5, you see the disciple asking the Lord to increase their faith. This is after they couldn't drive out a demon. This is after they couldn't do certain things, and they kept asking him, or they were afraid of the wind and the water, and they were afraid of dying. They had fear, and they said, Lord, increase our faith. We are called to the same thing. Guys, each day in your prayer time with your Lord, ask him, God, increase my faith. Give me a more measure of faith. Very important thing. Here's some instruction. Luke 22:32. It says, Satan wants to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Satan wants to sift you like wheat, guys. You know, I'm a mother. I have 5 children, and I will tell you that it is so evident to me how Satan wants to sift my babies like wheat. There's wickedness in my church. In all of our churches, there's wickedness. There's wickedness in our Christian schools. There's wickedness on the television, in our society, on the radio, in the stores, in Blockbuster Video, on the movie screens, on the safe television stations. There is absolute wickedness. He wants to sift them like wheat. He wants to sift you and I like wheat. He wants to sift you like wheat out of your network marketing business. And this is why he says Jesus is praying for you, that your faith will not fail. He says to guard your faith and to stand firm. That's another commandment. Guard your faith and stand firm. Romans 12:3, it says, In fact, many of you need to turn to Romans chapter 12. This is so incredibly beautiful. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. It's how we're supposed to respond in our giftings. Let me read chapter 12, verse 6. It says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. And above, 12:3, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. What does that mean? That means we are allowed to operate in our giftings according to our faith. How many of you don't want to be limited by the lack of faith or by the amount of faith that we have right now? I want it all. God, if you've given me a gift of prophesying or give me a gift of serving, whatever the gift is, and if it's only going to be used in proportion to my faith, then God, I need more faith. It goes on to say, if the gifting is serving, then let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, then let him encourage. And if it is contributing to the needs of others, then let him give generously. If it is leadership, then let him govern diligently. And if it is showing mercy, then let him do it cheerfully. Do you know what? Your network marketing opportunity has a place for all of those giftings that God has given us. Whichever one that you move in more than others, there is a place for someone with a prophetic gift in network marketing. There's a place for serving. There's a place for teaching. There's a place for encouraging. There's a place for contributing. There's a place for leadership, and there's a place for a shower of mercy in the network marketing industry. Absolutely no question. In my training seminars, I divide people up in their personalities and their spiritual giftings. And what we find is that each personality group also has spiritual giftings that are actually similar to their personalities. And we release people to be free in what those giftings are. Because there is a place for all of those in our industry, which I love. But it will only be done in the measure of faith that you have. Only done in the measure of faith that you have. So you want to get better? Then increase your faith by action, by asking God and walking towards getting better at it. Here's 1 Corinthians. It says, be on your guard and stand firm in the faith, and be men of courage and be strong. and I insert women in there. 2 Corinthians 1:24, it says, it is by faith that you stand firm. Guys, you know those days that you want to quit? You know those times where you just feel you can't go anymore? That you can't make another call? That you can't put up with your spouse another day? What did I just read? This is so awesome. God is so faithful. 2 Corinthians 1:24, it is by faith that you stand firm. It is by faith that you stand firm. 1 Timothy 6:12, he commands us. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Ooh, and some of you are fighters, and if you are, join the club with me. I'm a fighter, and I will fight the good fight of faith. Will you fight the good fight of faith? Will you stand firm? Will you agree with your adversary, or will you agree with your God who placed you where you are right now? 2 Timothy 2:18, it says that there are others that want to destroy your faith. That's why it says to fight the good fight of faith. You know, the ones who want to come and neg you out. They want to get you down about your health. Let's say you've got a health condition. They want to neg you out about that. This is what you say. Oh, no, I am fighting the good fight of faith. I will agree with my God that by his stripes I am healed, and I will not agree with my adversary who wants my throat. Hebrews 4:14 says, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. 12:12, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. 13:7 says, remember, you leaders who spoke the word of God, to you consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. So here's instruction. We are to imitate the faith of others whose faith is stronger than our own. It also commands us to be alert. It says to be self-controlled. It's 1 Peter 5:8. It says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. It says, resist him, standing firm in your faith. Listen, guys, man, I've been in this business long enough and had times of great wealth and times of absolute destitute poverty. And I know what happens when doubt comes into your mind. And that's when you have to stand firm and agree with your God and stand firm in that faith and say, doubt, you get out, because I won't do without. Go away. 1 Peter 4:12 says, do not be surprised at the painful trials that you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. Then go to James 1, 2 through 8. Phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal. Talks about perseverance. Talks about your trials and that perseverance produces faith and that it produces endurance. That if we have doubt, that we will be double-minded. Jude 1:20 says, build yourselves up in the most holy faith. I'm running out of time. Let's go over here, number 5. This talks about the outcome of faithlessness. And here we'll see this. This is very interesting. We see Jesus in Mark 16:14. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe. I have to say that again. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe. How many of you have ran into some of your distributors who have a stubborn refusal to believe that they are in the right place at the right time with the right opportunity, with the right God who's trying to lead them to the promised land? And they have a stubborn refusal to believe. The Lord Jesus himself rebuked those who lacked faith and had a stubborn refusal to believe. This again is called, this is about the outcome of faithless, which is interesting. Let me go to this. Here we go. Psalm 78:57. He says, like their fathers, they were disloyal and faithless, as unreliable as a faulty bow. Here's the second scripture I have for faithless. Psalm 101:3, it says, the deeds of a faithless man I hate. That's not my words. That's the words of the living God. You have a problem with that? Take it up with him. Seriously, Psalms 101:3, it says, the deeds of a faithless man I hate. And yet he says he diligently blesses those who are faithful. Here's Psalm 119, verse 158. It says, I look on the faithless with loathing, for they do not obey your word. Here's Proverbs 14:14. The faithless will be fully repaid for their ways, and the good man rewarded for his. Can I do that one again? The faithless will be fully repaid for their ways, and the good man rewarded for his. Here's Jeremiah 3:8. It says, I gave faithless Israel her certificate of divorce. So what's the conclusion? How does God feel about having no faith? How does God feel about it? He's not happy about it. But how does he feel when we walk by faith and not by sight? That we do not, that we stand firm in our faith instead of believing doubt. Instead of having our excuses, our well-planned lives, that instead we ask, seek, and knock, and we walk towards it. He's happy about it. In fact, let me take you there. This is number six, final topic for tonight, faithfulness. Concerning those who are faithful, here's what your God has to say about you who are faithful. We're going to start right here. He says, Deuteronomy 7:9 says, he is a faithful God who does no wrong. Psalms 18:25 says, to the faithful, I show faithfulness. Did you hear that? It says, the Lord is faithful to those who are faithful. So you believe by faith in all of our frailty, in all of our mistakes, in all of our humanness and our filthy rags. Our faith is accredited to us as righteousness. And our faith that we see from James must have action, or it's not faith at all. Psalms 31:23 says, the Lord perseveres the faithful. Oh, gosh. Thank you, Lord. The Lord perseveres the faithful. 37:28, we're still in Psalms. He says, he will not forsake the faithful ones. Isn't that awesome? He will not forsake you in your network marketing business. He brought you here. He did not bring you this far to leave you alone. Be faithful to him, acting out your faith, and watch him multiply your businesses. Psalms 97:10, it says, let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. I'm going to read that one more time. Let those who love the Lord hate evil. For he guards the lives of the faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Psalm 101:6 says, my eyes will be on the faithful in the land. Did you hear that? That the creator of the heavens and the earth, that his eyes are on you who are faithful. He says, my eyes will be on the faithful ones in the land, that they may dwell with me. He whose walk is blameless will minister to me. This is what God said. That they will dwell with me. Do you want to dwell in the house of the Lord? Do you want to dwell with him in all of his perfect love that casts out fear? And his unconditional love, his unfailing love. He's rich in mercy and slow to anger. He's gracious and compassionate. That you would dwell with him if you are faithful. Still in Psalms 145 verse 13 says, the Lord is faithful to all his promises. In Proverbs 2:8 he says, he protects the way of his faithful ones. 28:20, the faithful man will be richly blessed. You want to be blessed? Walk by faith and not by sight. Matthew 25:21, I said this earlier. He said to those servants, well done, good and faithful servants. He says, you have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge with many things. Guys, I don't know where your business is, but let's say you've just gotten started. You got 5 to 10 new distributors or 5 to 10 customers, and you went out there with all of your zeal and your faithfulness, and you casted out fear and doubt by trusting in your God and walking him with every step of the way to build your business. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge with many things. You want to have thousands of distributors like myself or Patty or whoever else inside your company? You want to be able to lead a mass amount of people and impact the lives of hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people around the world? Then first be trusted with a few things, and then he will put you in charge of many things. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. 2 Thessalonians says, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. A lot of times we run into things because of our lack of faithfulness, and we're always getting tested on our faithfulness. You know, I have giant atomic bombs that land in my life every once in a while. And they truly are nothing but a test. Am I going to trust my God who loves me, that he will see me through? You know, folks, many years ago I was diagnosed with a heart condition, and I had my fifth baby, and I couldn't take him up the stairs without passing out at the top of the stairs. My life had changed massively. This is one of the reasons why I had to retire. I no longer could fly on airplanes. I couldn't cook. I couldn't handle stress. I couldn't go up in any high elevation, which meant skiing was out of the question anymore. Boating was out of the question anymore. My whole life dramatically changed when my heart was afflicted with a health condition that was going to require a surgery that may or may not work for my heart. And by faith, I trusted that my God would see me through and that he would heal me. And by faith, I flew to Hawaii because I heard about my sister-in-law who had been healed of arthritis. And honestly, I did not believe that she had been healed until I saw with my own eyes that she had been truly healed, that she could pick babies up, that she could move her wrist around. And by faith, I jumped on a plane and said, I've got nothing to lose. And I was divinely healed. It's been almost 3 years in June. 2 weeks before I left on that plane, I got in a car accident and hit a bus because my heart started racing out of nowhere. My driver's license was taken away, and in order for me to get my license back, I had to go back and see two cardiologists. And guess what those two cardiologists said? You have a clean bill of health. We have no idea what happened, but your heart is fine. There's no traces of your heart condition. Why? Because my God is faithful. Will you diligently seek him? You know, I've had the locusts steal from me in my business. I had my best friend steal from me millions of dollars. And God turned around and repaid it. Why? Because it was a test. Would I fall into despair? Or would I stand firm in my faith? Will you stand firm in your faith no matter what trial you are facing? Because these trials will produce in you perseverance and endurance and a greater measure of faith. That's all trials are, is we are going to be tested in our faith. Will we stand firm or will we buckle? Will we agree with our adversary and all of his seeds of doubt, or will we agree with the creator of the heavens and the earth and know that our steps are ordained and that he's called us to this very place that we live in right now because there's a plan and a purpose for everything that he does. And there's a plan and purpose for our little lives underneath his wonderful heaven. So I challenge you, brother and sisters, walk by faith and not by sight today. Trust in him and obey and ask for a more measure of faith in any area that you need it. And if you want an impartation of that kind of faith, then get around people who walk by faith and not by sight and ask, pray for me that I will have a more measure of faith. And you know what? And you don't need someone to pray for you for that. Put your face on the floor and say, God, give me a more measure of faith. More measure of faith. Let him guide you to the places where you could become more effective in every single area of your life. And he will do it because he is faithful. I'd be on the phone for hours telling you all the miracles that my God has been so faithful to work in my life. And to think that a wretch like me could just ask for it and that he would give it. That a wretch like me would ask him to change me, and he would. That a wretch like me, that he would say, ask and I'll give it to you. And I, by faith, would say, Lord, can we have a business that produces this? Lord, I will honor you. Show me how to honor you. Show me how to do it right. And that he would lead and guide by putting me in front of the right trainers, in front of the right leaders. And that by faith we'd have to listen and learn and apply. I encourage you to do that in your life. In the areas of when my marriage was failing many years ago, oh, he's so faithful. I would tell God, I don't like this guy I married. I don't like him at all. I married the wrong guy. I was out of your will when I married him. But Lord, I'm in it. And I remember the day he said, I want you to treat him like the man you desire to be married to. And that day forward, by faith, started to treat my husband as though he was Jesus. Started to treat him with the same kind of love, respect, and honor that I would treat the Jesus that actually was in him. And the production of that faith, God gave us an incredible marriage and gave me a man I could only dream of having. Why? Because you know what? We're co-laborers with Christ, guys. He's given you a few things. By faith, go double those things. And he will trust you with more, and you will share. You will share in his happiness, just like it shows us in Matthew. Thanks so much, you guys, for your time. I just pray that God blesses you with an impartation of the supernatural faith that exists in his holy word, that is real, that is evident right here and today, and that you from this day forward agree with him and his word and not the adversary who spreads doubt and complacency and apathy. So God bless you guys, and thanks so much for your time.
We hope you've enjoyed this live audio training by Danny Johnson. For more information about upcoming seminar events and to get immediate free access to trainings, tools, tips, and resources that will transform your life and explode your business, visit DannyJohnson.com today. That's DannyJohnson.com. All content on this audio program is copyright of DannyJohnson.com. All rights reserved. DannyJohnson.com is a division of Call to Freedom International, LLC.